Chapter 14. Something Unbearable. We had made terrible time. With the hangovers, it was expected, really, and Maymay's cures only did so much. I didn't mind. With the harvest in, I was in no rush, and this relaxed pace was nice, too. I got to spend my time talking to Maymay about medicine. It was a subject I wasn't well versed in, but it was nice listening to her enthusiastic explanations. It was actually one of the things the people here were strangely advanced in. Hell, she knew what germs were, and that had thrown me for a loop. Apparently, some cultivator messing around with a technique called the Thousand Li View had discovered you could use it like a microscope, revealing germs and bacteria to him. And then he actually shared the discovery. It still wasn't particularly common knowledge, but a bunch of Joe's memories did have him being told to wash his hands at the very least. Of course, most cultivators use the knowledge to make better poisons and bioweapons, but hey, that first dude? Respect. And then Maymay combined it with an explanation about the four essences. I vaguely remembered something like that from traditional Chinese medicine, and this place took a lot of cues from Chinese culture, even if it wasn't quite one-to-one. Back in the before, lots of people considered such hocus-pocus explanations bunk, but they were probably actually a thing here, so I would be deferring to her experience. They probably interacted with cultivation as well, not that I really cared about that part. You know what? I'm going to see if I can buy some medical scrolls. Zhou hadn't been interested in this kind of stuff, but I was. As the day continued, everybody eventually got some more pep in their step, but I was 100% expecting some form of retaliation for speaking so loudly all day. Yun Zhen and Gao Zhen had been giving me nonstop stink eye and muttering to each other. But now we were camped out near a set of familiar hills, and I was sitting on a rock. I like this rock. It's a very nice rock. It's got a lovely view through the trees, is actually pretty comfortable, and it's where I first kissed Mei Ling. Or she kissed me. That part of the night is a little bit fuzzy. The point is, it's a nice, solid rock with a great view, and I've got a beautiful woman sitting in my lap. What's not to love?
Jin, are you paying attention?
Maymay asked me, turning around so she could look at me with her nose scrunched up in annoyance. Her freckled face was inches from my own. She had my pipa held in the proper way and was trying to teach me how to play as well. Granted, by her own admission, she wasn't particularly good either, but she'd been enthusiastic when I'd asked her to teach me. I leaned down and kissed her. Her lovely violet eyes went wide, shocked into inaction for a moment, before she closed them and leaned into the kiss. I slipped my hand into her robe and placed it against her warm, bare stomach. There was a sharp intake of breath, and then her hand came to rest on my own, and she pushed into my lips all the harder. I pulled back, and she kept her eyes closed for a moment. Sorry, I was distracted by the beautiful view. Her lips twitched into a slightly crooked smile.
You're the only person besides my father to say that.
I grinned. I'm superior to all other men, I declared pompously. It is no wonder I have a superior eye for beauty as well. She giggled and turned back around, laying against my chest.
Are there other cultivators as strange as you? She asked me.
I remembered all the stories about revenge, about extermination, and about even the heroes lying, cheating, and poisoning their way to the top, uncaring about the trail of bodies they left in their wake. I like to think I'm the normal one, I told her honestly. While yesterday had been a bit of a wash, everybody was bright and chipper today and in full tradition mode. We marched instead of trudged. Mei Ling's dad had borrowed my pipa and was playing it properly. Everyone else had the lanterns out, though they were currently unlit. Yao Che led us onwards while I was positioned to the right of the bride's horse. I was in a position of great honor as the guard position, considering I was supposed to be the one to deal with any threats to the bride. Such a place would normally be occupied by Yun Zhen as the only other person who actually knew how to use a sword, but I had been asked, so I did it. I had even been given a blade. From what I could tell, Yao Che had made a masterpiece, a blade that he had poured his soul into, and even I could tell that. The detailing, the engraving, the balance, everything about it felt perfect. It was wasted on me. I knew three things to do with a sword. Stick him with a pointy end, grab it by the blade and use the crossguard as a bludgeon, or unscrew the pommel and throw it at the person. Then end them rightly. Zhou's gramps hadn't taught him anything about swords either, constantly repeating he wasn't ready for it when asked. In other words, disregard the sword and get to punching. I at least knew how to throw those, and enhanced by chi, they'd pack one hell of a wallop. It was midday when Mei Mei suddenly called me, hurrying to my side.
"There's a mass of chi in the woods moving towards us," she whispered. "It smells sharp and fiery."
I nodded. "Oh, shit. I'll go check it out," I promised. Mei Hua looked at me worriedly, but I just smiled in reassurance. "I hope it's not anything big, or worse, skilled." But I had a job to do, and I certainly wasn't about to run off and leave everyone to fend for themselves. In any case, that was why I was here, in the weakest area in the continent. I would be able to handle anything that came at me. I hoped. Still, my confidence reassured her. She relaxed and bowed her head in my direction. I marched off. There was a steep hill that I slid down into the forest, heading in the direction Mei Mei had given me. There were a couple of cheers as people watched me depart. Off the beaten path, the land quickly became wild and untamed. There were giant trees, probably 20 feet in diameter, redwood-sized, with height to match, towering into the sky. I had a few of them on my property in the back. They were true giants that touched the sky, like particularly massive redwoods. They were just extremely beautiful trees that took my breath away every time I looked at one. There was also a light smattering of undergrowth. The light leaking in from the canopy illuminated it with little dots. Otherwise, it was pretty dark. There was an odd rumbling, and I changed direction, heading towards it. The uneven terrain did little to hinder my stride. There, I found my quarry. It was definitely a spirit beast. Most looked a lot like normal animals, just huge or with spikes and stuff sticking off them. It was some kind of bear, but red and gray. A blaze bear, I think. They were endemic to the Azure Hills. For a bear, it looked pretty normal. Not too many spikes sticking off of it, and though it was big, it was still a height that was believable instead of the mind-boggling bulk of the earth-crushing devil serpent I had run from when I was traveling to the Azure Hills. That thing was as thick around as the bear was long. It saw me, and its eyes narrowed. The beast rose up onto its hind legs, rearing to its 12-foot height, and roared to the heavens, spewing flame out of its mouth and igniting its fur. It brandished its massive, sword-like claws and took a step forward, its eyes narrowing with challenge. My heart began to thunder in my chest as the monstrous hell beast took a step towards me. Sweat beaded on my forehead and my mouth became dry. And this thing was a weak monster. Nothing from the before could even come close to it. I swallowed. Okay, time to prove my worth. It was my first real fight in nearly a year. That weak cultivator, the mangy wolf, and the foxes didn't count. I took a deep breath and drew on my chi, reinforcing my limbs and wrapping it around my body in a protective shell. With a sharp exhale, I got into a stance, the one Zhou had practiced the most, the one I still did out of habit in the mornings to wake myself up for the day. My chi echoed out from where I stomped my foot. The ground seemed to shake as I gathered my resolve. I got ready to move into action, glaring at my foe. My chi rose for me, a burning warmth in my chest and all around me. The bear's eyes bugged out and it toppled over its own feet, suddenly trying to reverse, its flames extinguishing. It rolled backwards awkwardly and came back up onto its knees, with its forehead pushed against the ground. Huh? I stared at the bear as its head went up and down, hitting the dirt. The hell? Is it doing dogesa? Or I guess it's kowtowing here. Smack, smack, smack went the bear's head. I stayed briefly in my stance before slowly dropping my fist. Hey, I eventually said. Can you understand me? The bear stopped slamming its head into the ground and nodded frantically. Well, this was awkward, but at least I could reason with it. Stay away from people and the road, okay? It's dangerous. The bear frantically nodded again. I stared at it for a moment longer, the bear becoming visibly more uncomfortable. Good talk. You can go now. I shooed the bear away. The creature stared at me in shock and confusion. Go on, I urged it. The bear got up and fled deeper into the forests, glancing over its shoulder to make sure I wasn't following. "Bye!" The bear kept running. That didn't make any sense. Was it young? I was shit at sensing chi, I knew that much. This was the Azure Hills, the weakest place on the continent, but there was no way I should have enough power to just send it packing like that, just from getting ready to fight. I guess Mei Mei hadn't told me how weak it was. I'd have to ask her about it later. I grimaced as a smell hit me and looked at the soiled patch on the forest floor. Did it crap itself? I shook my head, letting out a bark of laughter, and pushed through the dense underbrush back towards our caravan. It was quite a bit thicker here, but it was a clearing, so it made sense. More light, more plants. In no time at all, I was back on the path and beside Mei Hua. Everyone looked at me expectantly. "Just a blaze bear. Don't worry, I don't think it will bother anybody else," I reassured them, and the rest of them cheered. The entire party, it seemed, wanted to slap me on the back or pound my shoulder, roaring that it was a huge accomplishment. Mei Ling just smiled at me, looking relieved.
"Ha ha! That's our brother Jin," Yao Che shouted.
The gates of Verdant Hill finally came into view in the dim twilight. Our paper lanterns lit the way as we walked on either side of Mei Hua's horse. The light caught her glossy black hair and red robe, producing an odd, ethereal effect. In that illumination, she was enchantingly beautiful. I had to force myself to stop staring. I wondered how Mei Mei would look when it was our turn. This procession was very nice looking. I wish I had a camera to preserve this moment, or a recording crystal. Recording crystals were expensive, though, like enough to buy another set of my land, at least. And while I kind of knew how cameras worked, there was no possible way I would be able to recreate one. Maybe I can ask for a few odd jobs during the winter in town, or I'll go find some more foxes and sell them to those Heavenly Furs guys. The gates, normally closed at night, were opened for us. The guards had known we were coming, and it wasn't too late. People on either side of the street cheered at the spectacle as we wound through town until we came to a small compound. It was bigger than most houses, and the people within were definitely well off. Zhuge Tingfeng and his parents greeted us at the entrance, as well as two servants.
"My friends, please partake of my hospitality," Tingfeng's father called. "I know your journey has been long, and I bid you rest and recover, for the houses of Zhuge and Yao shall be joined tomorrow."
There was some soup with dumplings served to us as we entered the little walled compound. While Mei Hua would get an actual room, the houses weren't quite big enough to accommodate everybody, so the rest of us were camping again. "Hey, Mei Mei," I asked, as we got ready for bed.
"Yes?"
"How strong was that blaze bear anyway?" She shrugged.
"No idea. I can't give specifics, but it was a lot weaker than you. Yours is like the fresh smell of the harvest. The blaze bear's was like ash on the wind, a fire in the distance."
I frowned as I got out my bedroll. A lot weaker, huh? The thought swirled in my head as I laid down to sleep. Big day tomorrow. I've been to a few weddings before, but Joe hadn't. I wondered what they were like in this world.